Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrner Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. Hey, what if your home's title, which is the legal document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? Well, that's called home title theft, and criminals all over the world can find your home's title online, and then they'll forge your signature, they'll take out loans against your home, or even worse, sell your home. Now, how do you know some criminal's not taking over the title to your home? You can find out with sign up at HomeTitleLock.com and use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's HealthLock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along.
And together we made progress. You know, from Turkey to air travel to a tank of gas, costs went down. They went down.
The economy was on a tailspin. That is the fact. Because of the last administration, because of the Trump administration.
You know, we're going to set up follow-up calls with every governor we met with to make sure we're available. As I think it was President Reagan said, we're from the government. We're here to help.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city.
Sean Hannity Show. More behind the scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America. Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
All right, news roundup and information overload hour. Thank you for being with us. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. We have breaking news. Pretty big breaking news.
Breaking news now.
Our next guest, the governor of the great state of South Dakota, Governor Kristi Noem. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
Anyway, we welcome back to the program South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. Governor, happy birthday. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's wonderful. Now I can say that Sean Hannity played the happy birthday song for me. It's fantastic.
You know, I'm not a person that actually likes birthdays. I don't like birthdays at all. Once you have a certain amount of them, you kind of get sick of them after a while. What do you like? And then I tell my family, see, my birthday is 5 days after Christmas. And all I tell my family is all I want is a Betty Crocker cake, a vanilla cake with that canned vanilla icing. That's all I want for my birthday. And then they always try to turn it into something elaborate that I always find out ahead of time. And I try to cancel ahead of time. And I know they're trying to be nice, or they give me something that I don't need or want anyway. I mean, I'm the worst person to buy stuff for. I'm like, oh, thank you. Here, James, you want this to my brother-in-law. But what are you doing for your birthday? Anything special?
You sound like a lot of fun, Sean. Well, what I do is I turn.
I agree. I'm not a lot of fun.
Right. I turn mine into a birthday month. So we just celebrate the whole month and we don't do anything big. I don't like big parties either. And I hate surprises. I'm one of those people that please don't ever surprise me with anything. So, you know, I just talk about it for a month, and then they're so sick of me talking about it that then they just don't really want to have a big party either. And it's just a lot of
little. So it's like at that point, it's anticlimactic, right?
Exactly. Then it's not that big of a deal. And then there's.
See, but you just turned 39. You know, once you hit 50, and I had a big blowout for my 50th birthday, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, well,
I think at 50, you just in your mind, you stay there mentally, spiritually, emotionally, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Boy, I'm going to try really hard to dial back time here because I'm 52 today, which for me seems like I should not even be close to that number. So,
well, you're not. So you're doing pretty well. All right. Let me ask you this. First, let me play Kamala Harris refusing to comment on TikTok. And, of course, our giggling vice president starts giggling at the end of the question out of, I think it's a nervous habit she has, but we'll get your take on it. Listen.
You don't have a specific view on TikTok itself?
I'm not commenting on it.
Are you on TikTok yourself?
I'm not.
Are you not like a voyeur?
People in my family are, I'll tell you that.
And you tell them to get off?
You know, you can tell young people in your family all kinds of things to do.
All right. You have been in the forefront, really, of trying to warn people that TikTok is, in fact, a spy mechanism of the communist Chinese. Now, others have been saying it, but nobody's been saying it as loudly as you, as often as you.
Yeah,
is it a spy? Is it something the Chinese spy on the Americans with?
Absolutely. 1,000% it is. It is a tool that they are using to undermine the United States of America, and they will continue to gather more and more information and manipulate Americans' thoughts and perceptions in order to control us. So we were the first state to ban it. Since then, I think 30 states have banned TikTok on government devices. Even the federal government has taken action to do so. That's what was so puzzling by her answer is she didn't give an answer, which is strange because their administration has already taken action on it. And I thought it was especially interesting in that clip, too, how she can't even get her family to listen to her. So, you know, you kind of want a vice president that has influence and that when they talk, people listen and pay attention. And she doesn't even have that in her own family members.
So we're in Alpharetta tonight and we're doing our big blue state, red state debate. Maybe you could do one in the future against the governor of your choice. Maybe is there anybody in mind that you would like to debate?
Oh, I think Whitmer's done a terrible job up there in Michigan. I can't even figure out what she's thinking. But, you know, I think it'll be fantastic to watch you guys tonight and to watch Governor DeSantis and Governor Newsom contrast the policies, because that is what is unprecedented that we have right now going on in this country, is that we for years have talked about liberal policies, conservative policies. We now have concrete examples of the effect of those policies on people's lives. And so I'm hopeful that they will just roll out the exact lifestyle that people in their states are living, because 99 out of 100 people, if they really knew what it was like and what it could be like living in a state like South Dakota or Florida, they would choose our states over California every day. I get that they get great weather. I agree that it's beautiful out there, but the rest of it is just tragic what he has done to that state and what liberal policies have done to that state.
You know, I think this is a debate that people need to have. I don't think people fully grasp or understand how profound it is that on the state level, the local level, the impact that politicians and laws and rules and regulations can have on people's lives. And governor, I mean, you know, as a governor, that had you taken, for example, a very different posture on something like COVID, it would have been an entirely different experience for the people of your state. You did not shut anything down. Granted, you don't have a population, say, the size of New York City or Los Angeles or whatever, but it doesn't matter. You made a decision to do it one way, and it impacted people's lives. And I think, you know, we tend to get caught up with what the federal government's doing all the time, but what's happening on the state and local level matters a lot also.
Absolutely. And we still have parts of our state that are extremely populated and that are relevant to what it looks like in parts of those larger cities. I would just say, Sean, I hope one thing you ask these governors tonight, and especially Governor Newsom, where did he think he had the authority to decide that? In his job description, which should come from his state constitution and the U.S. Constitution. Did he have anybody in his office that ever said to him, wait a minute, Governor, you don't have the legal authority to do that. You don't have the legal authority to close down that business? Because from what they did, they literally opened up the door for those business owners and those people to sue them as a governor and as a state for a taking of their business, and opened up the taxpayers of their state to billions of dollars worth of legal liabilities. They could have bankrupted California and these other states by the decisions that they made. And did they really grasp the monumental things they were doing that were far beyond their scope of just being governor of their state?
Well, think about, for example, California is a sanctuary state. I'm sure this will come up tonight. And as a result, by the way, starting in, I believe, January, Medi-Cal is going to be available for every single person in the state. That means every illegal immigrant. But right now, it's a sanctuary state. We have governors all over the country, governor from New York, the mayor of New York City, the governor of Illinois, and so many other blue states are very critical of Joe Biden's open border policies because it's costing the states a fortune. And again, that's like an unfunded mandate, right?
Absolutely. And because they have more people in Congress that represent their states, they go to D.C. and they ask the federal government to bail them out all the time, and they keep responding. So that's why you have to have strong people in the White House, in the executive branch, that can shut down the nonsense and recognize the consequences of these continuous bankrolling of liberal policies that's devastating our way of life. You're exactly right.
It really is. Now, one issue that you have paid attention to, and I've been paying a lot of attention to, I actually think we are probably the two most outspoken people in the country on this, and that is that we are watching Chinese nationals in droves buying up thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of our farmland, our ranch land, and land near military installations. You were on TV last night, and I said, well, it'd be nice if I could invest money in China if I ever wanted to and go over there and buy their farmland and land near their military installations, which we know they would never allow under any circumstances, not that I would want it. But the point is, why would we let them? Isn't that a national security threat?
Yeah, definitely is. It definitely is. And we've seen Chinese companies come in and buy up our fertilizer and our chemical companies, our seed corn genetics. They're buying up our entire food supply chain. But now what they're doing by their dramatic increase, it's a 5,300% increase on purchasing of American land from 2010 to 2020. So in 10 years, over 5,300% increase on the amount of investment they've made in buying land. And a lot of this land is strategically being purchased by our national security interests, by our Air Force bases, our NSA buildings, our areas that we have our top secrets and our operations and three-letter agencies operating from. And it's to gather information on us, on how to destroy us. So I sent Chairman Gallagher, who is the chairman of the Select Committee on China, a letter encouraging him to include his bill in the National Defense Authorization Act. I know the Senate took some action, but his bill is very strong. It would stop this kind of practice, not allow these six foreign countries that are our enemies to purchase up our land, and it would stop them from making that kind of an investment that would devastate our national security protections that we currently have. So it allows CFIUS the ability to review these transactions, which, if you remember, previously they said they didn't have the authority to do. And it also puts individuals on the CFIUS committee that have an agricultural background to really know if some of these purchases are tied to true research and investment or tied to the communist China and their party on what they're doing as foreign adversaries of the government.
Let me ask you, I want to play for you another Joe Biden quote. He was at this speech in Colorado just the other day. And if you can decipher this for us, Governor, we'd really appreciate it. We're looking for interpreters.
But I am friends with your leader, Mr. Moon. We're good guys. Here in Colorado, the wind turbine manufacturing Vistas is investing $40 million to expand its factory and hire an additional 1,000 employees. Solar manufacturer Meyer Burger is building a new solar cell factory just down the road in Colorado Springs. Instead of cutting them, or like Congressman Trump and Bob would want to do.
The political coverage. Some of the political players and some of the... let me ask a rhetorical question. No, anyway.
I find it embarrassing. I feel embarrassed for our country. Mm-hmm. What do you feel when you hear that? And does that scare you? Because it scares me.
It does, because it clearly tells me he's not in charge. There's no way somebody who can't communicate a basic speech can be making decisions. So somebody else is making the decisions for him. He is in cognitive decline. I think it's tragic, that the people around him are continuing to prop him up on a world stage in order to keep power. But it is having devastating effects on the strength of the United States of America. Every country knows right now, if this was a time to take bold action against the United States of America, you would certainly do it when you have someone in charge that can't even, you know, keep their thoughts together for more than an hour or two a day.
Unbelievable. All right, quick break, right back. More with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. Your calls on the other side, 800-941-SHAWN. As we continue, we're in Alpharetta, Georgia for the big debate tonight. Ron DeSantis versus Governor Gavin Newsom. You don't want to miss it. 9 o'clock Eastern, set your DVR, Fox News, as we continue. All right, we continue now with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is with us. Let me ask you this. With all the intellectual property theft and all of the unfair trade practices and the Chinese spy balloon incident and confronting our Air Force in international airspace and confronting our Navy in international waterways and confronting our ally Taiwan constantly and saber rattling, why is Joe Biden doing nothing to the communist Chinese? I personally have to wonder if it's tied to the millions of dollars his family made from the communist Chinese and the CEFC energy conglomerate out of China. That's my thought. What are yours?
But it's not just that, Sean. It is big business, big banking. It is our investment portfolios are heavily invested in China. I've been asking Vanguard to develop a product that we could invest our state dollars and pension funds into that would take China out of the emerging markets fund. China's not an emerging market. It should be in a completely different fund and give us the opportunity to continue to deal in the stock market and in investments without, you know, funding China. But that's not what Vanguard is doing. We don't have the federal government taking action on that. I actually got my congressman to introduce a bill now in Congress. I think he did it today. That is going to force us to divest out of Chinese investments. We did that years ago on Iran and Sudan. Congress did it. It gave us as states the ability to completely divest out of these countries that hate us, and that is exactly what we need to do now. So I don't think it's just his family. I think it is a lot of these entities that have put all their eggs in China's basket, and they're worried financially about their own pocketbooks and not about the safety and security of the United States.
It's unbelievable. Governor, you do have a beautiful state. I've been there many, many times. I urge people to take a visit. I love your jobs program and your apprenticeship program. I hope it's going well. I think it's innovative, creative, out of the box. Anyway, we really appreciate you being with us. And also, happy birthday, Governor.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. It means the world to me. You have a great
day. All right, happy. You too. All right, 800-941-SHAWN, our number. We are in Alpharetta, Georgia for tonight's big red state, blue state debate. Governor DeSantis versus Governor Gavin Newsom.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? Look like my baggage. I mean, I know. Okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? I look like my baggage. I mean, I know. Okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jobs.
Joe Biden can't spell it, and he can't keep them for the American people. Check out the Sean Hannity Jobs Forum today. Now, Hannity's on Coast to Coast.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, our number. We're coming to you from Alpharetta, Georgia, California. Hope you'll join us. It's 9 to 10:30 tonight. Then we'll do a half-hour analysis of the debate. Hannity.com will put a poll up. Who you think is winning, we'll put it up all through the debate and after the debate, and we'll keep it up through tomorrow at least. If you want to weigh in on who you think won, or if you want to give me an A+ and put in a great comment, we like that too. All right, before we get to our calls here, look, and we're going to honor, by the way, Dr. Kissinger, who passed away. I knew him. What a wonderful man. Actually, in front of him, smart as could be, if you want to talk about shuttle diplomacy, he's the guy that created it. Who's escaped Nazi Germany. You know, I would like to know what he thinks about all the virulent anti-Semitism that we've been discussing. What an incredible life he led. All the people that he met, opening doors to China, serving under two presidents, President Ford, first President Nixon, the work he did in terms of ending the Vietnam War, his involvement in that. Amazing man, amazing intellect. Had many great conversations with him, interviewed him many, many times. One of the more fun experiences I had is, you know, I try to do these stupid impressions. I kind of suck at them, but people seem to like them. Linda likes some of them. And, you know, I said, I'm Dr. Henry Kissinger, talk about bottom policy. Well, how do we rate that one?
That's pretty good. I mean, I like my favorite, my godfather.
All right. I got to keep my voice for tonight. All right.
No, you can't do that one. Not today.
All right. So the holiday season's here. Time for giving parties and friends and family. And you want to look your best, right? Years younger. You can, thanks to Genucel. And from now until Christmas, Genucel's most popular package is now 70% off. Just go to Genucel.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. And you can treat yourself and loved ones to the absolute best skincare in the world. Get rid of forehead wrinkles, fine lines, skin redness, pesky bags, puffiness under your eyes. Even a sagging jawline will disappear right before your eyes. Linda swears by all of it.
I do, and I've been using it forever, and they have awesome products. They're an awesome American company, and everything works. It works every day. It never fails you. You should get it right away.
Genucel.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Don't forget to put in my name for an additional 10% off your entire order. And if you order today, everything is upgraded to free express shipping. Genucel.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. All right, we got a lot of people standing by on the line. Let's say hi to Steve is in North Carolina. Steve, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. Well, you've shown us many times the horrendous conditions on the streets of San Francisco and L.A. since Governor Newsom's been governor. And apparently he didn't care about the citizens, and neither did the city leaders. But why was there such a push to clean the city of San Francisco when, you know, communist dictators coming to visit like a couple of weeks ago? So that's just telling me one thing. Does he care more about the communist Chinese, or does he care more about the citizens of his own state?
Look, I mean, everybody saw what happened. The question is, if you can show that you have an ability to fix something, and you have that power to fix something, why not fix it permanently? Why just, and look, they've got a big, big homeless problem out in California. When I lived 5 years in Santa Barbara in the 80s, at a time in my life I didn't have much money and was living paycheck to paycheck, pretty much. Yeah, I got to tell you, it was a beautiful place, but the homeless population was huge. If you remember Rush back in the early days, he used to do those homeless updates. And he got into a huge controversy because he was talking about, I guess he was advertising for a local barbecue place, if my memory serves me right. And everybody flipped out because he'd do these homeless updates. And I remember I was actually in the college radio station studio when I first heard of Rush. And I had just started my own show. And like I started in 1987. And some guy goes, man, you got to listen to this guy, Rush Limbaugh. Oh. And then that huge Santa Barbara controversy. And he did something very unique and different. In response to the controversy, it was almost like the first attempted boycott of a conservative host. Instead of fighting them, he invited his audience to go into that store and patronize the store. And guess what? It worked. They went back and they started advertising again on Rush's show.
And that reminds me of a boycott. Remember, Kerrig pulled their ads off of my show? Now, all of a sudden, I'm getting, you know, text messages and copies of tweets that people are sending out. You're taking videos, and they're beating up their Kerrig machines with baseball bats. They're firing shotguns at it. They're dropping it, you know, from three stories high. And that had a huge impact on them coming back as an advertiser. And they did come back as an advertiser. Now, the most interesting part is I never asked people to do that. And what I did was I said, you know what I'm going to do? For all of you that stood up for me, and let me at least buy you a new coffee machine. And I bought them Kerrigs. Now, I couldn't get in touch with the CEO of Kerrig, so I had to pay full freight for all of them. Linda, that was a nightmare for you.
I will tell you now that it's many moons ago.
What did we buy, 500 or 1,000 or?
3,000.
Oh, my gosh.
3,000. There's probably still some in a warehouse somewhere. But the guy who hooked me up, he was mad cool, and he was a conservative.
Oh, okay.
So he was like, listen, you're my cousin. I'm going to help you out. He's like, you're buying 3,000. So he did.
Oh, he did give us a break.
Yeah, on the DL. He was great.
All I remember is that the CEO of Kerrig at the time would not take my call.
Well, no, it's the parent company. It's like Mountain Spring Coffee or something like that, yada, yada. Yep. And he just said he had no ill will towards yada, yada.
I think they mailed it out from their facility. We get people's address. Mm-hmm. If you could show us that you stood up for me that way and gave up a lot of money and gave up your coffee in the morning, at least I can do is replace your machine. Mm-hmm. And people saved me at that moment. I don't think I've had a real boycott effort since, have I?
No. I mean, I think people running over the Keurigs with their Suburbans really takes it to another level. Just my humble
opinion.
Some
of my favorite with the golf clubs, others with the shootings.
Oh, man, they were shooting the crap out of them in the backyard. I mean, I was just like, I mean, it was a lot.
It was a lot. Or my favorite, they'd be on like the third or fourth floor of a building and drop it down and smash into 1,000 pieces.
But just think about the amount of thought and effort that went into it. They called their buddies. They're like, listen, come over. I'm going to beat the crap out of this coffee machine. I'm going to really make a video. I mean, it's a lot, you know? So I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that was very funny. All right, let me get back to our phones. Gino in Florida. Gino, you're next on the Sean Hannity Show. You going to be watching tonight, I hope?
I am. It's Dino, not Gino. That's my brother, Gino. I'm Dino. I think tonight's debate's a big mistake. I really do, because I think we're looking at a bait and switch. I think you know it, and for whatever reason, I don't think you're vocalizing it, but I'm pretty certain we all know that Biden's not running. I think we're wasting our time talking about him being a candidate because he made a Freudian slip recently when he said, talking about Newsom and said, you know, taking his job. You recall that one?
I do remember. We played it many, many times. Yeah. Biden saying that Newsom could replace him. You think that was a slip up or what?
I do because, you know, I think I'm trying to stay on this point, but I think they're afraid because when he talks and he gets less lucid than normal, even worse, he'll say things that are true. I think that goes with the whole dementia thing. It's like, you know, whatever, it's like somebody's drunk, they'll speak the truth typically, you know. I think it's a bait and switch. I just think Newsom is a used car salesman, perfect, he's good looking, they don't, and more people don't know about him. I think it makes him more dangerous. Because he comes across, he's a great talker, he's smooth. Ron DeSantis is a little rough around the edges, I think, in comparison.
Well, that raises a question. On substance, if you just look at, like, for example, the Wall Street Journal editorial yesterday that went over the statistics of both states, they dramatically favor Florida. And Governor Newsom knows this because in the debate I had with him, it came up quite often. And I imagine some of that will come up tonight. Is it going to be the substance and success of policies or personality that wins a debate like this, in your view?
Well, I think that, especially with the younger voters, people that haven't been to as much, that haven't seen. I'm from Chicago. I just moved to Florida 4 weeks ago. I think the younger voter, they focus on pretty things. You know, you've got influencers on YouTube that no business being millionaires because they have nothing to offer them, whatever they're doing on Facebook. There's no substance. And I think it's visual for a lot of people. I just think that's the way it is.
So you think if somebody just looks good, and maybe doesn't have as good a track record, and the guy that maybe has the best track record, best policies, greater success, you think people will look more towards the presentation than the actual results?
Well, you know, I do, only because we're talking about governors. We're not talking about the big state. So they're both governors of the state. So Florida people in the South, yeah, in that section know about him. You got people in California and out there.
Nah.
And so I just think it's going to be a rough road.
All right, Dino, appreciate the call. Thank you, my friend. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. Look, Henry Kissinger was a giant. Let me play what Fox put together about this man's amazing life. One thing about Henry Kissinger is, I mean, he changed the world. He changed diplomacy, opened doors nobody thought could ever be open.
With his towering intellect and ruthless realpolitik, his dazzling shuttle diplomacy and obsession with his own image, Henry Kissinger was perhaps the most gifted, admired, and reviled American diplomat of the 20th century.
There is no country in the world where it is conceivable that a man of my origins could be standing here next to the President of the United States.
A refugee from Hitler's Germany, Kissinger emigrated to the United States in 1938. After serving in Army counterintelligence in World War II, he earned 3 Harvard degrees. Kissinger's seminal 1957 book on nuclear strategy earned him consultancies to the Kennedy and Johnson White Houses.
Dr. Kissinger is a man who is known to all people who are interested in foreign policy.
As President Nixon's first-term national security advisor, Kissinger negotiated to end the Vietnam War, while the commander-in-chief withdrew U.S. troops and secretly bombed Cambodia. Another 20,000 U.S. troops and countless Vietnamese perished in the 4 years before Kissinger famously declared, "Peace is at hand," and received the Nobel Peace Prize. When the Cambodia bombings leaked to the press, Kissinger colluded in White House wiretaps.
To get into, to revitalize our alliances, get into a new relationship with the Soviets, to begin to feel our way towards the Chinese.
For Nixon's historic trip to China in 1972, it was Kissinger's secret overseas flights that paved the way, and their pursuit of detente with the Soviet Union led to major arms control accords, astonishing breakthroughs that earned Kissinger broad acclaim, but enduring suspicion among conservatives, who later argued he and Nixon should have sought, like Ronald Reagan, to defeat the Soviet Union.
In the early 1970s, I don't remember any conservative even talking about defeating the Soviet Union before one could even consider some of the aspects of Reagan's policy. Vietnam had to be finished. You can make as good a case for the fact that communism was ultimately defeated by the policies that Nixon started than by the policies that Reagan enunciated, and that Reagan could never have done what he did if Nixon had not first held the fort, created the structure.
Throughout his service to Nixon, Kissinger publicly heaped praise on the president in public.
There's a certain heroic quality about how he conducts his business.
But ridiculing him in private and ultimately taking a more measured view of his partner in power.
He lacked the capacity to reach out to people as individuals the way almost all the Kennedys that I've known did so naturally.
I shall testify with respect to all matters.
Confirmed as Secretary of State in 1973, Kissinger's shuttle diplomacy helped end the Yom Kippur War. After Nixon resigned, Kissinger stayed on, a reassuring figure amid the upheaval of Watergate, and also, for a time, an improbable celebrity bachelor. Hollywood actresses drawn to the famous diplomat who called power the ultimate aphrodisiac. Yet lawsuits and controversy would dog Kissinger for decades after he left power in 1977. Liberals called him a war criminal, claiming he had coddled right-wing dictators and was culpable in the assassination of 2 Chilean officials, charges Kissinger denied. Unfazed, the elder statesman trotted the globe, a wealthy consultant, his counsel widely sought. He could be critical of U.S. policy. And to the last, he remained active in foreign policy discourse, writing a book called World Order, reviewed favorably in the Washington Post by Hillary Clinton, who, like all of Kissinger's successors, drew on his counsel when she served as America's Secretary of State. Agitators continued hounding Kissinger, as at this Senate Armed Services Committee hearing in early 2015, prompting Senator John McCain, a Vietnam veteran, to defend the one-time architect of U.S. policy there.
Get out of here, you low-life scum. I'd like to apologize for allowing such disgraceful behavior towards a man who served his country with the greatest distinction.
Lifelong student of balance of power politics, acclaimed author of more than a dozen books, and embattled subject of dozens more, Henry Kissinger engaged every major foreign policy crisis across six decades of service and commentary, and strode the world stage with an authority and charisma matched by few other unelected figures in American history. In Washington, Rich Edson, Fox News.
What an amazing life. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family. All right, when we come back, we'll continue. We're in Alpharetta, Georgia, the great state debate tonight at 9. Hannity, Fox News, please set your DVR. All right, that's going to wrap things up for us today. Great to be back in Georgia tonight, 9 Eastern. Hannity on Fox, 3 hours away, an hour and a half debate. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida versus Gavin Newsom of California. The great red state, blue state debate. Hope you'll join us. Set your DVR. We'll set it every night, 9 to 10 Eastern. And we'll see you tonight. We'll be back here tomorrow. Thank you for making this show possible.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.